Hey, how's it going there? Welcome to another edition of Half Courts and Hail Marys. My name is Chase Van Wagner. Been missing for the last 2 weeks, or week and a half, or whatever. Mostly because I've noticed in my couple years of gambling, I go very cold around Halloween. So just as a preemptive thing, I guess, I've stayed away from betting for the last 2 weeks. I also got shelled around Halloween. Lost, what, like 30 units or some shit like that. So I had to definitely reevaluate some stuff and take a look inward and see what I had to, you know, make some changes and stuff. So on the college football and the NFL, actually college football, on college football model, I've now changed my cushion to 9 as opposed to 6 or better. And the NFL, I've changed my cushion to at least 4. And also, that's the other thing with by the time you get to week 10 or 11 of the NFL, the bookies are spot on with a lot of these lines. I did find a few discrepancies in football that we'll get to, and I found probably about 15 in college, about 4 or 5 in the NFL, and like 15 in college. So we still got a decent amount of selections. And as always, UFC. I have at least 10 picks in the UFC. I think I'm skipping a few, but not too many. But like I said, good episode. We'll have at least 30 or so picks. As far as the national or the international soccer picks, I'll probably tweet those out by the end of the night. I will tweet those out at the end of the night. I'm literally just walking in the door about a half hour ago, so thought I'd get something out real quick and go from there. Let's start us off with college football. Let's see, what's our first pick here? I believe my first pick is going to be, where are we at? These are already locked in on BetSports as well, so if you just want to skip through this, and UFC will be at the end, around the 30-minute mark or whatever. Let's see. My profile and pending picks. Sorry about that. Okay, we'll start us off on Friday. San Diego State takes on Fresno State. I actually have San Diego State winning this, or the model does. My model has San Diego State winning this outright, 30-21. And we're getting +1 on San Diego State, so that's a 10-point cushion. That's more than enough to put down a unit, at least, on that. If not a money line bet as well. Money line is going to be paying +110, so if you want to go that route, that's also a way to do that as well. Next is going to be Michigan taking on Michigan State. Model has this finishing 21 to 10. I'm sorry, 21-10 in favor of Michigan. So there's not really too much value on the point spread, but the over under is 44. That gives us a 13-point cushion on the over under. I'm going to happily take that as well for a unit. Next is going to be Mississippi State taking on Alabama. Model has Alabama winning this one, 45-19. That would be a 46, or I'm sorry, that would be a 26-point win. Right now, the books have them at -17. That's a 9-point cushion. That is the smallest range that I'm willing to take at this point. If it gets to 17.5, it would be out, quote unquote, out of our range. But it's Alabama. I trust them to cover that either way. But if it gets to 19 or 20, I think we would leave it alone at that point. Next is my riskiest one, I guess, or the scariest one in my opinion. Actually, two picks. They're both against top 4 teams, and they're both teams that aren't very good. Or actually, Wake Forest isn't bad, but Rutgers hosts Ohio State, and they're getting 52.5 points. And my model says that is way too many points to be giving away, especially when a team is at home. And, you know, I don't know how much fight is left in Rutgers, and we've been fading Rutgers the last since week one, I believe. But the model has them losing 49-7. That would be a 42-point loss. So they're getting 10.5 points more than what the model says that they should be getting. Again, Ohio State is such a good team and Rutgers is such a bad team that this could be a 70-point win for all I know. But for all we know, we've already seen them put up 70 points. So if you feel nervous, feel free to skip this one. But you know, I just have to follow what's being told to me. Model is 55% on the 7-point cushion. I'm sure it'll be better than 55% on the 9-point cushion. So anyway, taking Rutgers plus 52.5. Probably gonna tease that too to 58.5 later on, or probably with this Wake Forest pick as well. Wake Forest is getting 34.5, and the model says that is absolutely absurd. Has this game being 41-20, Clemson in Clemson's favor. So we're getting 13.5 points there. And again, a 6-point teaser would put that to 19.5 points cushion according to the model. And I think that'll be my 2-team teaser for this, or I mean maybe one of them. God, putting Rutgers in a teaser is fucking crazy though. Or putting Rutgers in anything. Anyway, I digress. Next is going to be Iowa State taking on Texas. The model has this one. I think this is the biggest gap of the entire weekend. Model has this being 26-21. Obviously, 26 is harder than it looks. But 26-21, which would be 47 points. And the over-under is 66. So we're hitting a 19-point cushion there. I believe that's the biggest discrepancy of the weekend. So that's going to be a nice under. I'm going to put 2 units on that by itself. And that'll probably be in a teaser as well. Or a parlay of some sort. That I like that a lot, actually. Iowa State and under. The Iowa State under has been one of the main plays this week, or this year as well. Baylor unders have been there too. But Iowa State has been almost every week an under. Next is Washington State taking on Stanford. And again, I think this is a 10.5 point swing here. Model has this being 32-20, and the over-under is 63.5, so we're getting 11.5 points there. Under 63.5, model has it at 52, so that's an 11.5 point cushion there, and we'll lock that in. Moving on, LSU taking on Ole Miss. This one kind of scares me because LSU could put up 50 points here. But the model has LSU only putting up 35, which I'm a little nervous about, but I have to go with what they're saying. I could actually see this covering with Ole Miss not being able to score either. It has Ole Miss putting up 14, and I think even that is being generous looking at this LSU team. I mean, Bama barely scored in the first half. And I think if that defense stays like that throughout the whole game, I would be shocked if Ole Miss could get 2 touchdowns in this. But anyway, I digress. The model has this being 48 total points. We're getting 65 for the over-under. That is a gap of 17. We're happily going to lock that in as well. I'm not locking that in for 2 because, again, I do worry about LSU putting up like 55 and, you know, screwing us that way. Next is going to be Oregon State taking on Arizona State. This is going to be a 8-point discrepancy, I believe. Yes. Model has Arizona State winning this 32-21, so winning by 11. The current odds right now are Arizona State minus 3. I kind of took this because Oregon State kind of broke my own rule, huh? That's supposed to be a 9-point cushion. But anyway, Oregon State's not good. I kind of broke that rule, I guess, right off the bat. And we're taking Arizona State. If this falls to -2, then it falls into our window. But I think that we're going to beat the Lions by probably 2 or 3 points on this one. I think by Saturday, Arizona State will be -5 or -6. Oregon State's simply just not that good of a team. Next is going to be Oklahoma taking on Baylor. Baylor's getting +10. I actually have them winning, or not winning. I have them losing by 1, similar to Iowa State, so it's a 9-point cushion. Oklahoma's second half defense is non-existent at this point. They've let Kansas do a backdoor cover on them. They've let Iowa State almost beat them. They've let Kansas State beat them in the first and second half in the Kansas State game. But if Baylor could come out here and make this competitive in the first half, there's no reason that in the second half they can't either A, make this close, or B, catch them outright. I'd love to see the money line on, or I'd love to take a little punt on the money line on Baylor, because, again, I think that Oklahoma State's second half defense might let them down here. And if Baylor can get a couple of key stops in the second half, they can make this a ball game. I'm definitely going to be hunting out the money line on Baylor Saturday, and I'll probably tweet that out. I'm really interested into that game. I think that that could be a big upset. Next is California taking on USC, or the last pick in college, I should say. California taking on USC. The model has this at 37, over-under's at 48, so 11-point cushion. Not the biggest cushion for the over-unders, but a solid one nonetheless, and we're going to lock that in for 1 unit. That'll do for college. Now we're going to move on to the NFL. The first pick here is going to be based on Matt Stafford, so this is not locked in as of yet. I'm just wanting to put this out. The first pick's actually Thursday night. I have the Steelers winning on the money line. They're actually underdogs. Money line's +130, so we're gonna put a unit on that to win 1.3. It's nice when you get a money line pick. Oh, I missed another money line bet. I'm sorry. In college, University of Minnesota taking on Iowa. The model has Minnesota winning outright, 23-20, and I would be shocked if Iowa can even put up 20 on Minnesota, because their offense is not that great, but I have to follow what the computer says. If you feel more comfortable with the spread, I think the spread's only 3, so that's a 6-point cushion. I don't know. It's up to you. By all means, do either one. I took Minnesota on the money line, though. And now I'm taking Pittsburgh on the money line, the same thing. +130. I just don't believe in Freddie Kitchens. I don't believe in Cleveland. I think that Buffalo is a average team as well, and I think that they're benefiting from, you know, recency bias. Anyway, on to the first Sunday game, like I was saying before. This is going to be hugely based on Matt Stafford playing. I think he is still a dark horse MVP. I don't know if I've mentioned that on this podcast, but if Detroit can somehow win 5 of the next 6 or 6 of the next 7, whatever, and Detroit can qualify for the playoffs or be in the playoff hunt, he's literally the only reason that Detroit is relevant right now, in my opinion. Matt Stafford is playing out of his head for a 3-win team. And I think that that is going to be put on display here against Dallas. I think that the NFC East is dog shit. I think that the NFC North is the best conference in football, or the second best conference in football, maybe, besides the NFC West. And I think that you're going to see that discrepancy here as well. Dallas is going to travel to Detroit, and I wouldn't be shocked if this is an upset here. I just took Detroit +3 because the model has Dallas winning by 1. But I kind of grabbed my nuts on this one, and the model has the Lions winning if Stafford plays. The model has them losing by a lot if Stafford doesn't play. So again, this is all based on Stafford playing. As of right now, it has the Cowboys winning because of the Stafford question mark. Next is going to be Tampa Bay and New Orleans. Again, recency bias here. New Orleans is only giving up 5.5. I have New Orleans winning by 15. So this is probably the biggest cushion on the NFL slate. I'm going to lock this in for 2 units. I think that New Orleans is going to come in here very angry and make Jameis Winston look like Jameis Winston. So that's the pretty simple gist of it. Same thing here. Recency bias again. Atlanta coming off this win over New Orleans. Carolina's only giving 5.5. Atlanta's not a good team. Don't fall for the bullshit week last week. They're going to go back right to the same. Atlanta Falcons. Panthers roll here, 32-22 according to the model. We're getting a 4.5-point cushion, which is more than enough in NFL, because like I said, the bookies have been very good the last couple weeks at handicapping these games. Another discrepancy I found was Baltimore and Houston. Model has Baltimore winning by 10. The bookies have them -4, so that's a 6-point cushion. I'll happily take that for a unit and move on from there. And I believe there's 2 more. Philly taking on New England. New England's only giving 3.5 to a team that is average. Like I said, the NFC East is not very good. The model, I believe, has them losing here by 7. I think that is generous, given that Wentz likes to throw to the other guy a lot and New England likes to take from the other guy a lot. I think that trend may continue here, and New England will roll off of defense alone. I add to that Harry is getting activated, or he was activated last week, but Harry should be more involved in the offense this week. And I think that New England rolls. Model has it at 7. I wouldn't be shocked if it's 17. 1 unit, though. And the last pick for NFL is going to be Monday night. Chiefs and Chargers. The over-under is 52. And my model has that way off. As usual, Monday night, with the exception of Seattle and San Francisco, actually, they had a great second half of scoring. But Monday night's been historically low scoring in the last year or two. And I think that trend continues. I think the Chargers have hit the under in 7 of 9 games so far, or 7 of 10 games so far. Kansas City defense does give me pause. I'm letting Ryan Tannehill throw all over them. And Patrick Mahomes can obviously put up 50 by himself given any given week, or this Kansas City offense could any given week. But these teams last year played each other really close, and I think that trend continues here. Model has it at 48. Over-under is 52. I think the over-under will probably climb, actually, if you're willing to wait. It could get up to 53 or 54. I'm just locking it in right now. I'll probably lock in another unit if it gets over 54 or 55, which probably could happen from here, from what I think, or from what the public's starting to bet it at. I believe it's 58% over on the public so far. But that's it. I think, like I said, I scanned pretty closely for the last day or so, and that's all I found. If I find anything else, or if any line moves really hard, I'll definitely be on the lookout for it and tweet it. But I don't see anything. I haven't seen anything in the last day or so. But anyway, let's move on to the UFC. We'll knock that out relatively quick. I have a couple skips actually on this one, so there's only about 8 or 9 picks. But that's more than enough, all things considered. The problem with the UFC being weekly, from what I've noticed, is that there's a lot of you know, just fighters that suck in the first few fights, and you can't really trust the lines, and you're almost better off just betting the underdogs in the first three fights and just hoping, you know. But, you know, I digress. Like this first fight, Tracy Cortez versus Vanessa Melo. Cortez is -185. I'm not laying money on. I don't like betting women's MMA, one. And two, I really don't like betting women's MMA when it's, you know, that much of a line change, you know, or that much of juice. I'm sure that she could win, but I'm not laying that down. That's a total skip for me. Probably be a skip from half the people that out there, you know. Should be a skip from everybody, I think. Where am I at? I lost my page. Oh. All right, and here's actually one that I really like. Veronica Macedo is taking on Irene Lipsky. Macedo is a badass on the ground. If she gets this fight to the ground, she will win. Lipsky is a good striker, and I think that if this stays on the feet, you know, Lipsky's gonna win this one. That's why kind of the odds have fallen a little bit towards Lipsky. Macedo opened up at -130. She's now down to -115, I believe. And, you know, if you're willing to be greedy and just wait for a little bit longer, this will probably flip into Lipsky's range, where Lipsky is the favorite. But I think this is a sneaky play here for Macedo to not only win -115, but the inside the distance here is paying really well. I think it was like 300 plus 300 or something like that. Macedo wins by submission is +375, and Macedo inside the distance is +300. So the greedy one in me says do 375, but you know, you never know. Play that however you want, but I really like Macedo inside the distance or by submission. Either way, and Macedo -115 if you're just willing to just, you know, put it up like that. If Macedo gets this to the ground, you might as well just start counting your money. She's a badass on the mat. She's a very good jiu-jitsu practitioner. Her last fight, she was actually taking on another black belt in jiu-jitsu. Got taken down, started getting beaten up, and lowered my head for a second, and she locked up an armbar. I didn't even see the submission. I lowered my head for a second to like, ah, fuck, and kind of just threw my arms up, and she locked up an armbar. So she's very sneaky. She's very active on her back. I like this girl a lot. Next is a sad one. Renan Barral taking on Douglas Andrade. This is just the UFC putting a fighter up on a quote-unquote big name. Renan Barral, great fighter for 13 or 14, you know, or what did he fight for, 10 years? He's only 32 years old, which is really sad. But, you know, from 22 to 30, he was just a fucking monster. So he had his time in the sun, and his time in the sun's pretty much over. I think this is going to be probably his walking paper fight or one of them. Anyway, there's not really any value in this fight. It's a fine fight for a parlay. I think this is one of the parlay picks. And it's inside the distance is paying. This is definitely going to be a knockout. I mean, 90% sure this is going to be a knockout. Andrade inside the distance. Wow. He's +165. No shit. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to do 2 units on that. We're going to do 2 units on that and not even think about it. Barral has a chance to land something here, but he's washed. Barral's washed. We're going to do DeAndrage -240, I believe, is what he is on the -255 as one of the parlay picks. And then inside the distance, I can't believe that. That's kind of, I thought that was a tight, wow. All right, whatever. Andrade inside the distance. Where is he at? Come on, you can do it. Oh, plus 165. Yeah, we're locking that in for 2 units right there. And then the parlay will be 1 unit, obviously. First leg right there, Andrade. Next is going to be Warley Alvarez taking on Randy Brown. Warley Alvarez is a, you know, very weird fighter. He actually has a submission win over Colby Covington. So that's a very high-level fighter that he's beaten. But he also has losses to fucking scrubs. So, you know, guys who aren't even in the UFC anymore. So he's very hard to predict. But given that he's only minus one, only minus 120, it'd be hard to not pick him. I mean, that's pretty much pick 'em money. We'll probably put 1.2 to win one on that. And he's got great submissions, so inside the distance is also in play here as well. Gonna see where he's at on inside the distance. Last time I looked, it was plus. Alvarez inside the distance plus 195. Yeah, that's worth putting at least half a unit on to win another unit. He's very wild. He's always going for submissions. He's very much like the girl from earlier. What the fuck was her name? Macedo. Very much like Macedo in the fact that, like, she's always live for the submission. He's always live for the submission. So inside the distance is definitely good value on both of them. And I don't think I have too much to talk about Randy Brown. Randy Brown is very technical, and he's the better striker here. So it's another striker versus grappler type of thing. But Warley is very wild in his striking, and you know it could be a clip and sub type of thing, you know, type of deal where he just catches Brown with something wild and gets it to the mat like that. But fear not, if it gets to the mat, this will end. And like I said, he could end in a knockout either. The guy throws wild punches and never really gets, I wouldn't say he never gets tired, but he's pretty durable. You know, he could punch himself out being in Brazil and getting too hyped and stuff, but I like Warley Alvarez at this price. Next is Francisco Trinaldo taking on Bobby Green. I believe I chose to skip this one as well. There really isn't much here for it. Bobby Green would be my lean here because he is plus money right now. What is he going at? Bobby Green is going off at plus 105. So that would be my lean here. Trinaldo's fighting in Brazil. That's the only reason that I'm hesitant about this. But Bobby Green puts out a lot of output, whereas Trinaldo is more of a stand-and-bang type of thing, and he likes to wrestle. If he can take this to the ground, then he, you know, can easily win this. But I think Green can piece him up on the mat, and he's going to throw strikes in bunches and, you know, probably get the win that way. The only thing that, again, it makes me hesitant is that we're in Brazil, Brazilian fighter. So you got to kind of win this, you know, walking away if it goes to the judges. So, you know, no official pick here, but Bobby Green would be my lean here if you just have to have money. Or if we hit these first four fights or whatever and we're looking, or these first three fights, I should say, we're looking good, then we'll lay it on Bobby. We'll lay a little bit on Bobby Green, but Bobby Green's just a lean right now. No real official pick. Next is Ricardo Ramos taking on Eduardo Galligori. Nothing really. They're both pretty good fighters. Galligori, I believe, is undefeated. This could be a I don't know. I honestly don't know what I'm doing here. Ramos is minus 260, so obviously he's supposed to win here. I'm actually going to go with Ramos by decision, I think is the only thing that I saw. Ramos could be another parlay here as well. So we could do Andrade and Ramos, and that would pay about even money. I'm not sure if I want to lock that up either, because, like I said, Gallegory is undefeated. I don't know who he's fought, though. But a decision... By decision, when you're minus 260, usually pays pretty well. Ramos inside the distance is plus 165, and Ramos by three-round decision is plus 160. Gallegory being undefeated, it'd be really surprising if he, you know, got knocked out as his first loss. But, you know, it happened to Gregory Gillespie last week, so not impossible. I'm going to go with that, though. Ramos by three-round decision, plus 160. I like that a lot, actually. One unit to win 1.6 is fine there. What else we got here? Next is Sergio Moraes taking on James Krause. Krause is the better fighter here in pretty much every facet. He's not better on the mat. He's better at stuffing takedowns, though, versus Moraes trying to get a takedown, in my opinion. Krause will probably be the second leg of my parlay here with Alvarez. Or no, I'm not Alvarez. D'Andrade. That'll pay a little bit better because Krause is going off at minus 185, I believe, last time I looked. Yes, minus 185. Mixed with D'Andrade at minus 255, that'll pay a little bit over even money, I believe. And that's a solid two-man parlay. Again, Ramos could be put in that parlay too if you feel like doing a three-teamer or if you do like feel like doing a round robin. There's all those. Charles Oliveira coming up later is probably another key in my parlay. Those are probably the four guys that you just do a two-team, like a bunch of two-team round robins if you want, or, you know, just put them all four in a parlay, whatever you want to do. It's probably going to be my DraftKings lineup, them four and then two underdogs that I like, or that I think have a shot anyway, maybe Bobby Green and... Anyway, I'm getting off topic. Krause, minus 190 parlay, and I'm going to also look inside the distance because the guy can fucking bang. And Morales' only chance here is if he gets a takedown and submission. Even if he gets a takedown, I think Krause is good enough to defend himself for a couple minutes, brush himself off, get back to his corner, come out in the second, and start trading again. Krause is a much better striker than Morales. Krause inside the distance is paying. Where we at? Inside the distance. Where the fuck yeah, come on. Oh, Krause inside the distance paying plus 220. I like that a lot. I love that actually. We're gonna run with that and not look back. One unit to win 2.2 units. And again, Krause in the parlay with D'Andrade. I'm probably gonna do two units to win 2.1, I believe it paid last time I looked. And not look back on that one either. Next two fights I'm going to be skipping. I don't like anything about the Perez-Turman fight. I think that's going to be a split decision. It's a really close fight and really doesn't interest me at all after watching both of them. They're both going to try to do grappling exchanges, and whoever ends up on top is probably going to win. And I have no fucking idea who that person would be. So, I'm just going to skip that. And another one I'm probably going to skip is Andre Muniz versus Arroyo. I actually thought Muniz could... this is another one. I mean, even the bookies think this is close. This is Muniz versus Moraro. Or Arroyo, I'm sorry. They're both minus 110. Like, You get no... Even the bookies have no idea who's going to win either one of these fights. I was leaning Muniz. I think I'm still going to leave this with a lean, like Bobby Green. Bobby Green's a lean, and Muniz is our lean. If we do well in these first couple fights, and you know we got money to play with, by all means, I'm going to put money on Green and put money on Muniz. But as of right now, I don't know. I'm completely skipping the Perez and Thurman fight, though. I don't give a shit about that, and that fight has split decision all over it, and I'm not throwing in my fucking phone or something because of that. I would never do that, actually, but you know what I mean. Muniz is a nice lean here, I think. And Muniz could get a submission, which would be even better for DraftKings purposes. I definitely could look at him for that as another lineup, as a secondary MMA lineup, maybe. Because I don't think a lot of people are going to be putting him in their lineups. And he has submission capabilities. And he's definitely my lean here. I just don't feel comfortable actually putting money on him like that. Putting him in a $5 lineup is a lot different than putting like $50 on him, you know? But I digress. Next is the very quick one. Charles Oliveira taking on Jared Gordon. Oliveira will win this by however he wants. And it'll be, I'm rooting for Jared Gordon. I think everybody's rooting for Jared Gordon. If you know his story, it's really nice. Google it if you haven't watched it. It's, he basically was a drug addict, blah, blah, blah. He was in he ended up being in a hotel room, almost overdosing. And that was the last time that he used drugs. He got his life together. Joined a gym, and, you know, three, four years later, he's in the UFC. Life really is a wild ride of, twists and turns. But that being said, I think that he's biting off a little more than he can chew here. He's been knocked out twice in the last 12 months, so his chin could be going. It's never good to have that much trauma to your brain. Consistently or consecutively, whatever. And hopefully, I hope for his sake that Oliveira just submits him. So Oliveira likes to submit people. So hopefully for his sake, that's how it ends. But fuck, this could be quick. Either way, Oliveira's at minus 355. He's one of my keys to. I think he is the key actually to this 14 parlay that I was doing in my head. But I might end up just doing Oliveira and someone else, Oliveira and someone else, Oliveira and someone else. You know, just 20, 20, 20, 20, or 50, 50, 50, 50, however I'm going to do it in my head. I think that might be the way to go too. Oliveira inside the distance, I don't think he's paying anything either. What is that? He's minus 360. On the cards, under 1.5 is minus 120, so that's juiced. No real value there. And Oliveira inside the distance is minus 185, so again, no real value there either. So Oliveira is literally just going to be in the parlay here, and that's it. That being said, we'll move on. This is the underdog of the night. Here we go. Mauricio Shogun Rua is minus 270. Who the fuck did that? Who the fuck thought of that? Mauricio Shogun Rua is 41 years old, and he's minus 270. No. Not even once would I ever put my money at minus 270 on Mauricio Shogun Rua. When he's facing Paul, I beat the shit out of you or you beat the shit out of me, Craig. Paul Craig's never been a decision. He either stops somebody or he gets stopped. And my brain is telling me that Paul Craig's probably going to get a stop here. But he could get stopped too. Like I said, these are both in the fucking realm of things. But when it's 50-50 and toss your hands and they're just going to sit there and bang, why you'd be stupid to take the guy who's minus 270. Right now, Paul Craig is going off at plus 240. Mauricio fell, actually. He's 280. Oh, my God. Craig is getting two. Okay, I'm going to put, again, I'm putting one unit here. I'm not trying to get too excited, but if these some of these picks go the way I expect, and then I even my Muniz fight goes as I expect, yeah, we're going to, by that time, Oliveira will have, the parlay with Oliveira will be cashing, hopefully. Yeah, we'll probably put more than one unit on Paul Craig if that's how the night goes. But Paul Craig is definitely getting a unit of my money, and Paul Craig inside the distance is paying plus 410. That's getting a half unit as well. So 1.5 units on Paul Craig, and that probably will go up to 3 or 4 if this is a good night. Brazil's been pretty nice to me in the past. Hopefully it'll that'll continue. And the last fight of the night is going to be Jan Blackwood's taking on Jacare Souza. There is no real value in this fight for me, and unless you're taking Souza to win. And Souza only wins this fight one way, and that's by submission. I thought about Blackwood's inside the distance as well, but he's only getting plus or minus 105. Not really too much value there. That's kind of my lean. I think Blackwood's knocks out Jacare. He's a bad motherfucker. I think he's the next one in line to fight Jones as soon as all this bullshit clears up. I don't know if he's gonna fight Adesanya or what's going on with that, but I think Blackwood's is eventually going to step up with Jones. Probably lose to Jones, obviously, but I think he's next in line here in the next couple of months or the next year or whatever. Like I said, Blackwood's is actually falling to minus 210 now. So there's no real value on him. Anyway, follow me on Half Court Hail Marys. I'll continue to post sports picks out there. National team, or international I should say, soccer picks are going to be out probably tonight or tomorrow night. So stay tuned there. And as always, guys, good luck and let's get them.